Good morning to everybody. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Shepherd School Convocation for 1981. This is a sort of an annual affair, one of the few times that we all come together in one room. And as acting dean, it will shortly be my privilege to introduce a very important guest. But before I do that, it is my pleasant duty to remind us of our origins for just a brief moment. The Shepherd School, as its name indicates, owes its existence to the generous bequest of Mrs. Sally Shepherd Perkins, who wished to establish a music school in honor of her grandfather, Benjamin A. Shepherd. Mr. Shepherd was one of the Houston's early bankers and financiers. In 1950, this gracious lady, who was herself a gifted pianist, began an endowment at Rice for the purpose of establishing the Shepherd School of Music, and gave several significant amounts of money during her lifetime to the school. She also left a bequest in her will, which, upon her death in 1968, made the endowment large enough for Rice University to begin planning for the music school that she wanted. And under the leadership of its first dean, Dr. Samuel Jones, the Shepherd School opened its doors in 1975, and here we all are. So this morning, in convocation, we pause from our teaching and learning activities to honor the memory of Sally Shepherd Perkins. And in the evolution of the Shepherd School, we now turn a new page. Our new dean has been appointed, and he will take office on January 1st. He comes to us from Boston's New England Conservatory, where he is currently music director and vice president of academic affairs. He is also a performer on woodwinds, a theorist, a conductor, and a teacher of nearly all aspects of the music curriculum. And he is here now to greet us at our convocation. It is my very great pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Larry Livingston, Dean of the Shepherd School.
Say that as a conductor, I'm used to bowing when people applaud, and so I keep thinking, what do you do when you're presented as a dean? Do you applaud or try to run away and hide? I'm indeed very happy to be here, and I feel it is a great honor for me to have the opportunity to take up the quest of the Shepherd School and to join with all of you to try to make this wonderful thing happen and flourish. I have not really prepared any elaborate formal remarks. This will be somewhat informal, but I hope to share with you a few things that matter a great deal to me and maybe give you an opportunity to see a little of who I am. After we're done, I hope that we can mingle a little and get to meet each other as individuals, and I hope that you will come and see me during my various trips to Houston, which I'll be making this fall. I plan to come down 3 times and possibly a fourth. So for those of you who have time or the inclination, please feel invited to come and see me. I would love to talk with you. That includes students, faculty, staff, anyone. So I'll look forward. To me, the best part about being in this life is the people. So I'd like to get to know you. I would like to formally at this time thank all of the faculty in particular and all other people who contributed to the whole process of search which led to my appointment. This was indeed an elaborate task for you and as well for me. And that process, in my view, was carried out with such a high level of expertise, humanity, and civility that I could have been impressed enough by that alone to take this job. So I want to make that clear that your people handled this with elan and grace and tremendous sense of the import of the task at hand. I would also like to express my very basic excitement and enthusiasm over the opportunity to be here. I don't think anyone here feels this is an easy job, but it is also a job which, in my view, has a great payoff at the end and even now. and the dividends are tremendously high. And you will find, as you get to know me, that enthusiasm is a trademark of my style. So I am very eager to begin work. I'm very happy to be here. Maybe I'll share with you now, if you don't mind, not in a formal address, but rather notes to myself coming down on the airplane. Who am I? I'm a musician. And when I die, I hope that people will remember a lot of things about me, but I hope in the first two or three words that word appears. I have spent my whole life in music, playing it, improvising it, conducting it, teaching it, learning it. My father was a self-taught musician, a composer, a jazz clarinet player and pianist, who went to college and at that point had to start over. He'd been playing professionally for 7 years when he went to college, part of that time for a living. My grandfather was the town violinist and carpenter, which according to my figures in the Union Scale book is a great double. My great-grandfather was the town trumpet player in a little town in New York, played in the town band. So on the paternal side of my family, music goes back a long way. I'm told when I was 3 years old, I started playing the piano. So to put aside any fantasies about a kind of Chopin-esque genius, I stopped playing the piano when I was 4. When I went to school, I went to the University of Michigan, which I consider to be one of the great schools on our planet. And I started in the, despite a rather inchoate loss to Wisconsin 2 weeks ago, I started in the literary school. I started as a liberal arts student and switched to music. And therein lies some connection, perhaps, with this assignment, this opportunity at the Shepherd School. I have been recently married. And those of you who have not met Karen, you have a great joy ahead of you. She is my cohort in all efforts. And she is a musician and music teacher in Stoneham, Massachusetts, where she has the choral program in a little high school there, which is a suburb of Boston. And she will be coming down on one of the trips with me, and I hope that many of you get a chance to meet her. Knowing her has changed my life. I have a 9-year-old daughter who will be 9 on Sunday. And she lives with her mother in DeKalb, Illinois, and will be visiting very frequently. So if you see a tow-headed 9-year-old running around the office, this is not the next Itzhak Perlman, but is in fact my daughter. And so her name is Casey, and feel free to say hello. Why did I take this job? Hard question. In the end, intuitive, instinctual responses override all the graphs, charts, and analyses, and you just go for it. New England Conservatory is a great, old, prestigious, wonderful music school. I've had the privilege of serving that school for 4.5 years, and will never forget what I've learned there, what I have, in some way, I think, done there, and what I suffered there. In some ways, the suffering is the most beautiful part. To be 39 years old and to be offered the presidency of one of America's great music schools is an honor. I don't take it lightly. I took this job instead, with no regret, and with tremendous sense of commitment and enthusiasm for what we will become. Why? First, the faculty. A great music school could be founded in Gravel Dump, Idaho, if you have a great faculty. And if you are in Paris and you have an average faculty, you will not have a great music school. I believe that the initial steps in developing a faculty of the Shepherd School were taken with great wisdom and precision of choice. And I have been excited by and inspired by a nucleus of very strong, committed, first-class artist faculty the Shepherd School has already put together. But more than their competence and artistic capacities, their humanity has appealed to me as well. I want to work with people who are not only competent, but loving and alive, and whose style interfaces with mine in some way that is meaningful to me. The quality of the Shepherd Quest. Is it possible for a great music school to exist in a great university? Harvard says no. We say yes. Houston, a new horizon, the new America. Fuel-injected trajectories into the night. A chance to help build and fashion a school of consequence, a school that will leave its stamp, a school that will give lessons, as it were, to the whole country about what a great school can be. Opportunity. The Chinese word for opportunity also means risk. Risk-taking is part of the greatest thing that life can be for me. Coming here is an adventure loaded with opportunity and risk. So if I take this job, what am I going to do? What should we do? What are our goals? Recruiting. New word. I have reason to believe that there are opportunities on the horizon to develop the kind of student population that is large enough, distributed properly enough, and high enough quality to make this work. We have begun to take some steps toward that even yesterday. Fundraising. In Boston, I was unique and enigmatic in that I like doing that. I am not, by nature, a salesperson. When I was 14 years old, I made the mistake of trying to pay my way through college selling Time magazine over the telephone, calling up people and reading the party line, "Hello." I lasted about 45 minutes doing that. I discovered that I wasn't really interested in reading Time magazine, and I was guilty of one of the things that people who shouldn't sell and who try to sell frequently get trapped in, which is that people kept telling me more persuasive arguments than I could make why they shouldn't take Time. And so I, by the time I was done, was probably the best arguer for not taking Time of anybody in the area. But if I have something that I believe in, it's quite another story. And so the fundraising I did in Boston, to me, was not salesmanship or salespersonship, if you will, but instead was an opportunity to connect up something I cared about with people who had a capacity to make that even better. So I am eager to set sail in the fundraising world of Houston and Texas and the country. And I have reason to believe, from my conversations with the president of our university and the development office, that they are more than ever serious, ready, eager, prepared, and committed to the project. Money is not the answer. It's a vehicle to make the answer happen. Facilities. The amount of space available, where it's located, and the quality of the space available makes a tremendous difference to the quality of life for musicians. I have looked at our facilities. I have not been in every space, but I've been in most. I spent 15 minutes in a Wenger practice room yesterday with the door shut. I wanted to have a direct and intimate connection with the practice and teaching environment that represents. To see about those rumors of people ODing on psychological oppression, let alone heat. I will call the Wenger people today to ask them some questions that I have made notes about. We obviously need facilities that are suitable and supportive for making music. To build a palatial new building is, in my view, premature right now. But it would not be premature if the students were knocking on everyone's door because there were so many of them who were so well qualified to be here and no place for them to even exist. That's the long term. The short term, we've already begun to develop investigations of other devices, other mechanisms for reducing the momentary and temporary space press, which I don't take lightly and don't see as something that needs to be dismissed. Those of you who are students here now, many of you will not be here when our new building is built. I want you to look back on your experience at the Shepherd School and not say, I wish I had been there when the new building was there because what I had was unacceptable, but rather, every effort was made to make it as good as it could be while we were there on the way to the new building. Teaching Rice what a great music school is. No experience. You can't play the concert unless you have a few rehearsals. So that's one of the reasons. I believe in this environment, the power of a music school could be unlike a music school in any other place, because I believe that the intellectual turbulence and excitement of schools which have this level of mathematical and scientific investigation and liberal arts inquiry need to be buffeted about some by the gypsy-like element that music can bring. And perhaps fifth of an incomplete and growing list, continuing to build a great faculty. There are places whose facilities, believe it or not, are even less good than ours. Depending on which hall you walk down, one of those is New England Conservatory, where of the 125 faculty who are there, only about 25 have offices. And yet, the right teacher teaching in a hut in the Arctic can be fantastic. Style. Some comments about style. My door is always open. Come up and talk with me. Tell me what you like. Share your joy with me and your unhappiness. Deposit your criticisms where it will do some good. Kvetching in the hall is therapeutic, but in the end, ineffectual. Fetching is a word that means complaining all the time, by the way. I am not an incipient Democrat, but I have a good ear. I believe in candor, fairness, and consultation, but in the end, I will make the decisions, both the easy and difficult ones, and I will be accountable for those decisions. I will put my head in the noose, but not without consultation. Paranoia, someone told me the other day, is knowing all the facts. Time. I have a 10-year contract. That 10-year contract was not engineered as an attempt to have eternal job security, but as a metaphor, as a comment on what we are doing here. Things do not all happen overnight. And I caution, be wary of things that do happen overnight. They go bump in the morning sometimes. Our school is unfolding in time like a great piece of music. To the extent this analogy illustrates how we must function in time, understand that decisions made in 1981-82 will be the most powerful if they have motific viability in the long run. Fixing things today to make next week better can be effective over the long haul, but not always. If the choice is between a stopgap response which releases momentary pressure but significantly interferes with objectives of 1985, 86, and so on, and a solution which may be immediately less than ideal, but has great hope for meeting the objectives of 1985, 86, and so on, I will choose the latter. It is the larger cadences which we must attend to most carefully in order not to myopically stumble and drift into foreign keys of no return. Performance. To me, music is in the beginning, middle, and end performance. I am a performer. I have no interest in dilettantism as a way to spend my life, although I support dilettantism in the Blue Heron Mink Stole set all the way. But performance, unenlightened, performance based on doing it because my teacher said I do it, or should do it that way, because his teacher told him to do it that way, is, in my view, not viable in 1981. We're living in a time of tremendous cultural and acoustical multiplicity. Sitting in your living room, you can tap into, if you have enough equipment, the music of every culture on the planet. I call that the bombardment syndrome, or problem. You compare that with Mozart. How much non-tonal music did Mozart hear? And we talk about the purity of the culture and the aesthetic of Mozart, and then we try to play Mozart G minor symphony. The only way, in my view, that that can be done with traditional and historical credibility is for us to develop a capacity for cultural purity in a time when cultural plurality is everywhere asking for our attention. We must be able to illuminate musical materials in the tradition in which they were invented. Otherwise, we are imposing on those musical materials our own version of them, which in the end becomes separate from the origin itself. If we are going to have the capacity to grow, we must be able to teach ourselves. Most of you already know as students that you don't really learn, you teach yourself. And then you try to surround yourself with people who are the most animated and vital kinds of informers and resources so that you're in an electric environment in which to teach yourself. The great schools put their students on their shoulders and set them free. They cultivate independence, not dependence. Imagine yourself going to the Shepherd School or any music school, taking your baccalaureate and or master's degree, being put on a ship in the Atlantic, never to dock again, just to be the only person that you know that knows music. To what extent would you survive? To what extent could you take one piece by Beethoven and teach yourself the rest of his repertoire? Enlightened performance. The days are over when one can simply sit down and play what feels good, even if that succeeds in Philadelphia. To know that Haydn had to write music for the puppet theater of Esterhazy is either an interesting curiosity or may change the way you treat Haydn's sense of humor, which occupies all of his music. Values. Can we, as Americans or Houstonians or Riceans or Shepherdians, already there's a lexicon of arcana. Can we learn how to use leisure time? There's no place on the planet, in the history of the planet, where more people have had more of it. What do you do with it? Perhaps the most telling comment on a culture is the way it uses the time that isn't obligated to work and to sleep and to eating, and to other things of equally productive nature. You can only go to Neiman Marcus so many times. I would hope for a planet in which leisure would be seen as adventure, growth, and change, not as reinforcement, stasis, and soporifia, sleep induction. Art is permanent, permanently revisitable, and rehearable. I have been impressed by the values of your faculty and the people who are part of this institution. Relationships. I want all of us to be happy and fulfilled in what we are doing. I want to be that way, and I want you to be that way. To love each other in the most basic and enduring ways, but as adults, not as children. For me, when adults love each other, they can brook all arguments, all stress, and they are permanently elastic, having no elastic modulus. For this to happen, it must grow from our mutual love for what we are trying to do. The commonality of our quest is the bond which will keep us together in times of duress, and I guarantee you, with me here, there will be times of duress. Popularity is not my goal, although I wish like hell to be liked. Helping make the Shepherd School a great and special place is my goal, and I will give everything, including, if necessary, my own seeming popularity, to achieve that goal. I wish for you to like me very much. I think it's possible. But I wish most of all for you to respect what we try to do. The poetry of administration. I wish to give you not only the best of my energies and my intelligence, whatever those strengths and minuses might be, and my musicianship, but also the romance of my own way, to make an idiom of how we do things together, a human signature, as it were. Family. Karen and I are coming to Houston to stay. We don't know the future, but our hope is to be here for a very long time. I have been everywhere for 4 years. Somehow the collegiate rhythm has been permanently laminated onto my temporal frame. I wish to see many multiples of that in Houston. We wish to live here and grow here and become part of the community. Karen is not here with me now, but I want you to know that we are a team. And the quality of our lives together matters a great deal to me. We hope to start a family here. 10 years ago, I could not have made this statement because I am always consumed by work. Five years ago, I would have listened to someone else make the statement and developed some empathy. Now I make the statement. I am going to make family as important as my work. I have learned painfully and slowly, but well, that this balance between job and home is not only important to my life, but to how effective I can be at my work, which has always been a consuming passion. And last of all, in my notes to myself, be sure to leave a little space for play and frivolity. Inescapably, part of my nature is the clown. When that's repressed and shut down, the weather of my mind turns dark and dour, and the chiaroscuro of all of that leaves me momentarily unproductive. And finally, what we become must be an outgrowth of cooperative effort. I cannot, I will not, and I should not try to do it alone. I offer no instant miracles, no prescriptions for immutable success. I see our school as seeking the ultimate, not the ultimate just for Houston or just for Rice, just for anything or just for now, but for the absolute ultimate, to become the next and perhaps most special great music school. To that end, I request your help, your support, and your criticism. If we join together then, like Arthur in the great myth of years ago, we attempt to pull the sword from the stone. Thanks.